That wasn't the plan. Guild leaders. That was poor little Edward's plan. Guild leaders to start with. Leave the city leaderless and in turmoil, and then confront his silly candidate and say, "Go forth and rule, it is your destiny." That was an old disease, that kind of thinking. You caught it from crowns and silly stories. You believed... you believed that some trick like pulling a sword from a stone was somehow a qualification for kingly office. A sword from a stone. The gun was more magical than that. He lay down, stroked the gun, and waited. Day broke.
"I never touched nothing," said Coalface, and turned over on his slab.
Detritus hit him over the head with his club.
"Up you get, soldiers. Hand off rock and on with sock. It another beautiful day in a watch. Lance Constable Coalface on your feet, you horrible little man."
20 minutes later, a bleary-eyed Sergeant Colon surveyed the troops. They were slumped on the benches, except for Acting Constable Detritus, who was sitting bolt upright with an air of official helpfulness.
"Right, men," Colon began. "Now, as you..."
"You men, you listen up good right now," Detritus boomed.
"Thank you, Acting Constable Detritus," said Colon wearily. "Captain Vimes is getting married today. We're going to provide a guard of honour. That's what we always used to do in the old days when a watchman got wed, so I want helmets and breastplates bright and shiny, and cohorts gleaming. Not a speck of muck. Where's Corporal Nobbs?"
There was a dink as Acting Constable Detritus's hand bounced off his new helmet.
"Hasn't been seen for hours, sir," he reported.
Colon rolled his eyes.
"And some of you will... Where's Lance Constable Angua?"
Dink.
"No one's seen her since last night, sir."
"All right. We got through the night, we're going to get through the day. Corporal Carrot says we're to look sharp."
Dink.
"Yes, sir."
"Acting Constable Detritus?"
"Sir."
"What's that you've got on your head?"
Dink.
"Acting Constable Cuddy made it for me, sir. Special clockwork thinking helmet."
Cuddy coughed.
"These big bits are cooling fins, see? Painted black. I glommed a clockwork engine off my cousin, and this fan here blows the air over."
He stopped when he saw Colon's expression.
"That's what you've been working on all night, is it?"
"Yes, because I reckon troll brains get too war..."
The sergeant waved him into silence.
"So we've got a clockwork soldier here, have we?" said Colon. "We're a real model army, we are."
Gaspode was geographically embarrassed. He knew where he was, more or less. He was somewhere beyond the shades, in the network of dock basins and cattle yards. Even though he thought of the whole city as belonging to him, this wasn't his territory. There were rats here almost as big as he was, and he was basically a sort of terrier shape, and Ankh-Morpork pork rats were intelligent enough to recognise it. He'd also been kicked by two horses and almost run over by a cart, and he'd lost the scent. She'd doubled back and forth and used rooftops and crossed the river a few times. Werewolves were instinctively good at avoiding pursuit. After all, the surviving ones were descendants of those who could outrun an angry mob. Those who couldn't outwit a mob never had descendants, or even graves. Several times the scent petered out at a wall or a low-roofed hut, and Gaspode would limp around in circles until he found it again. Random thoughts wavered in his schizophrenic, doggy mind.
"Clever dog saves the day," he muttered. "Everyone says good doggy. No, they don't. I'm only doing it because I was threatened. The marvellous nose. I didn't want to do this. You shall have a bone. I'm just flotsam on the sea of life, me. Who's a good boy? Shut up."
The sun toiled up in the sky. Down below, Gaspode toiled on. Willikins opened the curtains. Sunlight poured in. Vimes groaned and sat up slowly in what remained of his bed.
"Good grief, man," he mumbled. "What sort of time do you call this?"
"Almost 9 in the morning, sir," said the butler.
9 in the morning? What sort of time is that to get up? I don't normally get up until the afternoon's got the shine worn off."
"But sir is not at work any more, sir?"
Vimes looked down at the tangle of sheets and blankets. They were wrapped around his legs and knotted together. Then he remembered the dream. He'd been walking around the city. Well, maybe not so much a dream as a memory. After all, he walked the city every night. Some part of him wasn't giving up. Some part of Vimes was learning to be a civilian, but an old part was marching, no, proceeding, to a different beat. He'd thought the place seemed...